Welcome to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and on this program tonight, I have a very exciting guest, someone who's been in the research field, in the crop circle research field, probably since its modern awareness in the last 10, 20 years. This is Nancy Talbert's the guest. She has BLTResearch.com, and she is really one of the foremost authorities on investigating what I call a new reality. That's why I call the show a new realities, because Nancy, people like Nancy are really at the forefront of this kind of investigation. So, Nancy, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me, and I absolutely appreciate the title of your show, because it's exactly what's happening.
It is what's happening, and most people, even though they say they're in this kind of field of investigation, are not quite able to buy that there are new realities. And I think we should talk about a little bit. You just did a radio show, was it last week? And these people seem to have a hard time with what you were saying. So let's address that first, and then we'll go on to new information. Okay? So tell me what happened on that program.
Well, I have recently put up this whole page, home page, on Robert Vandenbroek, this guy in Holland, who is a psychic and a medium and Lord knows what else. And I had put up this report about some of his very bizarre photos.
And this is on the BLTResearch.com website. That's Nancy's website. If you go to Vandenbroek case, you'll see these pictures of Robert with this amazing light phenomena. And
what they have to do is click on the Vandenbroek case and then scroll down that page. That's Robert's homepage.
Right.
Scroll all the way down to their whole list of reports. And you want the one that has the pink. You'll see Robert's face peering through some pink weird lights. Click on that, and that's the report we're talking about.
Give a little bit background about Robert, because he is one of the most unusual people I've ever heard about. So
he is absolutely one of the most unusuals. I first found out about Robert, knowing that our interest has been historically pretty much crop circles. Mm-hmm. And the reason why Robert came to our attention was that when he was quite young, he began to see brilliant light phenomena in a fields near his home. He lives in a very rural part of Holland. And he found himself lying inside of brand new crop circles, having lost consciousness after seeing these lights. In one of these cases, there was a white powder that was present. And we have field workers. BLT Research has field workers all over the world. And there was a field worker in Amsterdam who
I've heard of white powder in other crop circles as well, so it's not that unusual.
They're different white powders.
Yeah.
They're not the same. At any rate, Robert's father wanted to see if he could get an analysis done of this particular white powder. And so the field worker got in touch with me and asked if we could do it, and I said, sure. The powder arrived, we did the analysis, and it turned out to be a very pure magnesium carbonate. We had no way to explain the purity level of it or why it was where it was. We sent the answer back, and eventually, when I was in Amsterdam doing a lecture, the Vandenbroek family came to hear my lecture and brought Robert with them. They then asked me to stay with them for a couple days if I could, and I had a couple of days. So I went down to their home, and the most incredible saga began that night, the very first night I was there. I have seen things that I simply can't believe.
Like what?
Well, the very first incident was I had this feeling not to go to sleep, not to go to bed. I'm a night person anyhow. I wrote it off to that. But I knew not to go to bed. So I was staying up, and the parents, who are very polite, stayed up with me. The three of us are sitting downstairs in their living room which had floor-to-ceiling glass doors that looks out on a small patio and then a very small backyard. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, I started to feel this electrical, I guess like sticking your finger in a socket, you know, this buzzing that mm-hmm. started at my waist, all the way around my body, and slowly started to move up my body. It was not very strong at first. It became very intense by the time it got to my neck. And at that point, I thought to myself, the hell with science, I'm getting out of here. Started to stand up to get out of the room, you see. Mm-hmm. And the electrical feeling, the buzzy thing, stopped instantly. And this enormous light display then started to take place in front of these floor-to-ceiling glass doors.
You saw the light display.
Everybody saw them. There's mm-hmm. balls of light and blobs of light and flashes of light, and all of this stuff is going on simultaneously within a foot of the windows themselves, all contained in about a 12-foot diameter area. I couldn't believe my eyes. I was like, what the? I've never seen like that before.
Right.
And after a while, 15, 20 seconds, the light stopped. Nobody said a word. And then a few minutes elapsed, and this feeling, this tingling thing started again. Mm. And it slowly went up my body until it gets around my neck, and again, it's very intense. And again, I'm thinking, the hell with this, I'm getting out of here, I'm scared. The second I had that thought, the tingling stopped, and the lights came again. And there were great, big, huge, diaphanous things sitting there. Then there were little, dense, bright ones. There were flashes of light throughout the whole thing, and then these big blobs would come down from above, bounce along the brick patio outside, and all of this is going on at once.
And what's Robert doing the whole time?
He's in bed asleep.
Oh, he's in bed asleep. There's nothing to
do. He and his sister were both upstairs sound asleep. The parents had simply stayed up with me because they were being polite, you know.
And did they ever see this before?
They had never seen anything like it in their lives.
Wow.
And when it finally was over, the fifth time it occurred, by this time I'd gotten brave because it wasn't hurting me. So I got a little braver each time it happened. And I got right up next to the windows. I was afraid to go out, but I stood as close on the inside as I could. And I could see these blobs coming down from the sky. When it was over, I turned around to the parents. We hadn't said one word during this entire thing. It took about 17 minutes. I turned around to them, and like God talking, I said, well, that's it. It's over.
Mm.
I have no idea why I said it. I have no idea how I knew it.
Right. So,
you know,
anyway,
then
you
when
did
we
know.
Did yeah. start to talk about it, I was trying to find out if they had seen the same thing I had. And turns out they did. And then I wanted to know if they had felt, you know, the tingling. Turns out they did. The father was terrified. He was very frightened. His wife was a little less so. And as you get to know the family, it becomes clearer. The mother is also a psychic. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't quite as startling to her, but her husband was flat scared.
Right. Okay.
It was quite a display. And, I mean, I've never seen anything like that before. They immediately said that this had happened because I was there, that it had happened for me.
It could be, but maybe their house is also a vortex of sorts, right?
It may very well be. My feeling when they said that was not so much that it was for me, but it was very location-specific. It occurred in a very precise area.
Huh. Okay,
you know,
so that
brand
was your
new house. They built this house just a couple of years earlier. It had been farmland before. There was a development that had been built along this strip of farmland. So the house was new. It was
so that
5 or 6 years old.
That was your introduction, though, to Robert, basically, right?
It was.
Okay, so from there, you started to hang out with him and realize that he was tapped into some other level of consciousness, right?
Well, Robert is the only person in the world who, as far as I know, who knows exactly when and where new circles are going to occur in his area. He always knows, and he's always right.
Does he know how he knows? Does he just get an impression of these?
He gets what he calls, well, he says he sees them, and I think, remember, he speaks mostly Dutch, and I speak mostly English, so There's a little bit of difficulty sometimes. As best I can tell, he gets what I think most people would call a vision, a very clear picture in his mind. He knows where it is. He can see what it looks like. And he has an angst that he calls it angst, which is he paces and he moves his hands a lot. This always happens just before a circle is going to appear. And he knows now when that happens that a circle is getting ready to come. And then he has a vision. He knows when and where. And if you drive to the place where he tells you, there it will be. And it will look just like he says.
Huh. Have you brought him to England, to Wilkshire, to see the
circle?
He
does not travel at all. Mm. I have tried a couple times to get him to go with me to England, but he does not travel. He's not like everybody else. And he's exactly like everybody else. If you just met him socially, you would not notice anything unusual about him at all.
Right.
But in truth, he's not at all like most people.
Uh-huh.
His interests are simply and solidly in this area. He's in touch with, I think of him as a conduit, frankly, based on what I've been through with him.
Uh-huh.
I don't think he's manufacturing anything himself. I have stood right with him and seen him jump as high as I do when something weird happens, you know.
But it's happening a lot around him because just these images, these light impressions on these photographs on your website are
now,
pretty strange.
This is one tiny little bit of the thousands. He has maybe 10, 15,000 of these photographs now. And what I've done in this report, just so your listeners know this, I have used almost entirely photographs taken with my camera, with me standing right there. I can see what Robert is doing. The camera is in my possession all the time until he tells me he'd like to have it, and then I hand it to him. It's set in auto, because he doesn't know how to do anything else with it.
Right.
And it will have a new chip and new batteries. That's all that's happening. And when he feels these energies present, sometimes it's crop circles that are occurring, sometimes it's something else. And what I'm trying to do now is to introduce the public. This is the tip of the iceberg. These photographs here are the easiest thing to tell the audience about. The things that are, the reports that are coming next, they really are going to have some trouble with.
I know. Well, I can't
wait. They're watching.
I know. I mean, the ones that are coming up, and I've seen some of those, are really blow people away. But so you did the show with David Biedney on Paracast, and he had a lot of problems with these photos. I don't see what his problem were. I mean, they seem,
He said, I don't know. I don't listen to Paracast. I don't listen to very much on the radio at all. I know his name, but I've never met the man, and I don't know very much about him.
Right.
And he had agreed.
At least we've met.
Yes, you and I know each other.
Yes. Okay, so
I don't know him.
Yeah.
And we were going through, I was supposed to be on the show to talk about Robert and what happens when he's taking these pictures.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, Biedney zeroed in on three particular photographs, which are, they're on the very first part here, the first page down near the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And there are lots of little teeny orbs in,
mm-hmm.
one is in Robert's office, one is in the upstairs hallway, and one is in the living room.
Right.
And
okay.
I included those because I know about dust causing orbs.
Right.
I know about droplets of moisture. I know about bugs.
Right.
None of these things were applicable in this particular case.
Oh, I know. I've done whole shows on orbs, and these are some amazing orbs that you have in this picture. And no one can really explain them logically because, well, at least as your friend John Burke says, they're plasma phenomena.
That's probably what they are.
But they're probably also, I say, conscious entities as well.
And, Robert, also, I will tell you a whole story about the orbs and consciousness, which I witnessed.
Tell me.
I believe that. Let me finish this one thing.
Okay,
the point is, Biedney saw these three. He then informed me that he was an expert and that he knew that these were all dust.
Right.
I didn't argue with him. I said, wait a minute. You know, you don't know Robert. You don't know his place. I don't know. I don't think you can immediately assume that just because dust can cause this sort of thing, that it was dust in this case.
Mm-hmm.
And that made him very unhappy. He did not like me not accepting his authority.
Well, he has to do a little research, because I've done lots of programs on orbs, and they're not explainable by dust. You can throw a bunch of dust up, you will not get things like this.
You can create a certain kind of orb. I've done it myself. And below these pictures, you will see some of my attempts to replicate orbs. And when you have a very fine mist outside, which in those, there are two pictures down near the bottom, those are mist. That is simply the flashlight bouncing off tiny little droplets of moisture.
Oh, I see.
But
yeah.
if you look at those, and then you scroll back up to Robert's pictures, you will see they're not the same at all.
I know. I've gotten stuff like the Robert pictures in certain areas around the country.
A lot of people are getting it now, you know?
No,
a
I
lot
know.
Of people.
So it's an unexplainable phenomenon. People like these people you were talking to can't get that, and they want to explain it somehow. And they're missing this whole new level of phenomena that's happening, and people like Robert seem to be
well,
like at the cutting
edge. Is also, Alan, when you look at Robert's, I mean, there's several shots there of orbs that Robert took in his living room, those brilliant bright lights right over his head.
Yeah,
I mean, come on, give me a break. And the point is to look at this whole report and look at the huge variety of light anomalies that he gets.
Well, who took the ones of Robert
together?
Yeah, who took those ones of Robert? Did you take them?
Those he took actually with a timer on a camera he had back then.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Those three with the very bright orbs.
Yeah. I've never seen orbs that bright, actually.
He just had a camera that had a timer that his father had shown him how to use, and so he was fooling around one night. The energies were present. He could feel it, and so he took pictures of it. Now, if you would go past this orb thing, which is the tip of the iceberg, let's go to part two.
Yeah, part two on, I'm talking to Nancy Talbert about her website, bltresearch.com, and we're looking onto the Vandenberg case, and going to part two, and okay.
Vandenberg case, and we're looking at the light phenomena report. Now we're on part two.
Oh, light phenomena report. That's right. It's under the, right. I'm with you. Okay, yes.
There's a point here I really did want to make. The very top of the page, there's a photograph of Robert. It's all orangey.
Yes.
One of the things that we notice, I've been visiting him for 11 or 12 years now, every year, spending 2 or 3 weeks in his home. Mm-hmm. I know everything that goes on there. Mm-hmm. We started to observe that when these energies are present around Robert, often the light becomes yellowy when it isn't really.
Do you actually see it or just in photographs?
No, you don't see it with your eyes. With your eyes, the place looks absolutely normal.
Uh-huh.
And yet the photos all have this sort of orangey tint. And I thought that was unusual. So what I'm doing here is highlighting it, just showing people a variety of these shots where the whole ambient light has gone yellow.
Mm-hmm,
It's somehow related to the energies. I don't know how. In addition to the coloration, we recently, if you scroll a little bit farther down, you will see some very brilliant light balls in a very stark black and white looking context.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening here is instead of the room becoming more yellow, it starts to become black.
Uh-huh.
And many, many, many times in the last 2 years, this is what we're seeing when the phenomena begin.
Mm.
And you will see there this black light. Well, I'm sitting on a couch.
I see you on the couch with all those orbs. Yeah.
And you see the orbs shooting right at me?
Yeah.
And this is weird. The picture with all the orbs was taken right smack after the one before, the light tube. And you can see that the room in the light tube picture is almost pitch black dark.
Right.
And yet the real light is what you see in the orb photo below.
So what does Robert say about all this?
He says a number of things. If you keep going, you'll see dark pictures with cross. There's a cross. This was at Easter last year, actually. Mm-hmm. And many, many, many of these crosses appeared with the room looking as if it's pitch black, dark. And curiously, even though the flash is going off, it doesn't light up the area as it would normally. It doesn't do it in these pictures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you go down. Then I'm talking about this double exposure effect. It's another weird thing that goes on in his photos. And the first example there is the very first case I ever heard of this in England in 1991. And a guy, his name was John Holman, was simply photographing a field in which there was a crop circle with a bunch of people standing in the middle of it. You see that?
Under Westwood, Wilkeshire.
Exposure.
I see that, yeah, double exposure effect, yes.
Now look at that picture. Do you notice that the tree line in the back? Look at the tree line.
Yeah, it's like one.
Do you see how it's been heated?
Yeah, I do, I do.
And
that's a digital camera?
That was with film, 35 millimeter.
Okay.
If you look at the people, you can't really tell it from this photograph. But when you blow this photograph up, what you find is that those people in the middle of that field are in two totally different positions. The same people, but it's as if two different instances in time were taken. And yet it is not a double exposure.
Oh, it's not a double exposure.
No. It's absolutely not. It's one film. It was one frame on the film. And if you look at the front part of the picture, Alan, look at the left.
The
you see
left,
how in focus all of that is?
Yeah, I do.
The tree line on the left is in focus.
Mm-hmm.
This is also true on the right side of the photo. It's only
so it's
the part...
So just the middle that is double. That is so weird how the, just the center could
it's
be...
It's the part right over the crop circle, you see.
Oh, so you think it's warping time, the crop circle?
I don't know, but it sure is
funny pictures.
But
I took pictures in crop circles, and that didn't happen, but maybe...
It doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen a fairly significant amount of the time if you're around Robert. And that's why I put that example up. I put it up to show people it does happen in other situations that are directly related to crop circles. There's a crop circle in that field, and I think it's the presence of the crop circle that has something to do with the weird effects.
Right.
And now we're going to scroll down a little bit, and you're going to see the same sort of thing taken by Robert in his house. You're going to see the same sort of double exposure effect, in this case with a digital camera. If they are not double exposures, it is simply that same weird effect. And I put up
that.
A couple pictures like that.
I see, and then I see this huge light column in the middle of one that, these are strange.
If you look at the one just above the light column, you see, that's me, I was sick with the flu. And you see the striped comforter over my body?
Yeah.
On the left, and then you see it again, you see, up above my head.
Yeah.
Somehow the image has become replicated, again, with just one frame. But these energies are present. I mean, he and I both knew it because he told me that, you know, they were there.
But let's talk a little bit, because anyone could read this report on the website. I'd like to hear more about what Robert says about the orb phenomenon, and also let's talk about some of the latest crop circles as well. But but what does Robert say?
A lot of different things. Number one, he has no idea why him. He doesn't understand exactly what it is that's happening. He doesn't know what it means. The most concrete thing he has said, and he's pretty consistent with this, is that this is of the spiritual realm. He talks about intense love, which he feels whenever this is present. He seems to think that the crop circles and some of this other phenomena that go on around him are sort of a wake-up call for humanity, really.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very gentle person. He doesn't really have a mean bone in his body. And he perceives these things that are going on as signs of this larger spiritual reality.
Mm-hmm.
He's not particularly religious, by the way. You know, doesn't go to church, doesn't have any particular affiliation religiously.
I mean, I did see some pictures, either by him or with him, of ETs, of extraterrestrial-type
figures.
That's
coming down the road in a future report. But I wanted to go through this first. And people, if I showed them everything, they would never believe it. I mean, they simply would not. And I figure I've separated Robert's photographs into light phenomena, which we're looking at here.
I see.
And then the next one is about the people who have died. He takes very clear portraits constantly of people who are dead.
Now, is that on the website?
And then after that, Huh?
Is that on that this website?
No, it isn't out yet. I put these things out one at a time so people have time to absorb what's going on. So if you go to the next part, part three.
Part three under light phenomena, Vandenberg case, yes.
Now,
I see
these
light
tubes. Now, in that very first one, the flash, in that case, did fire. We're outside, and yet you don't see any of the grass. This is taken down below to the grass. So I blew that, I changed the contrast on that picture so you could see.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Now, why is it so dark when these phenomena occur? I don't know.
No idea.
But it's very consistent.
So we say Robert has an energy field, though, about him. He has a kind of magnetic...
I think he is a conduit. That is the very closest I can come. He is aware of, he perceives other dimensions or, I don't know what it is, it's a some other reality that that comes very close to him fairly regularly now. And when it does, one of the things that happen are these unbelievably strange photos. What's actually going on right now, which I don't know if I will ever get to the point of writing it, but I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Photographs, when I'm there and we do all this stuff, we go back and look at the photos right away to see if anything's come. Because most of the time he doesn't see it with his eyes. And I don't either. Occasionally we have, but not usually.
Mm-hmm.
And now what's happening is that the cameras are all closed up and locked up. And in the case of some of his visitors, they have left the house altogether with the visitors. And we find that later, on those images that we've all seen and know what was on the image, there will now be something else.
And even after
cases,
the camera... Wait, let me absorb
that. The camera
that.
Is gone.
The camera shut off and gone, and after you've looked at the picture, and then you look at it again, and there's images that weren't there... That's incredible. That's amazing.
Well,
on digital cameras.
And most of the time, a lot of the time, it's animals. We have pictures of his sister sitting on a couch. The picture was absolutely normal the first time we looked at it. Went back and looked at it again, and there's a panda sitting on the arm of the couch with its arms around her. And in another case, there's a photograph of his mother. It was absolutely normal, no weird stuff in it. And later, when it was looked at again, there were butterflies. Little chickens all over her.
And that one, you're going to post that on your website at some point.
I'm writing these things as fast as I can write them, but
great.
His father cares quite a bit that it's meticulously accurate, that I don't misstate anything, that I don't misrepresent anything. What's going on is phenomenal enough. There's no need to add to it. And it takes a lot of time to write this very carefully so that everybody knows exactly, you know, what was happening. What are the circumstances in which all these pictures have occurred? So now, if you scroll down a little bit, I want to show you something very interesting, these light tubes. Farther down, you're going to see one that splits into a two. It comes down out of nowhere and then splits. And it's wrapping itself around my shoulders.
Well, I see the one where there's two.
About halfway down.
One going across and one going up.
Keep going.
Okay.
It says when auto fix is applied.
I see one's arcing.
Right.
Very strange lights happening here. Shape of a cross. Yeah, I'm seeing all these interesting.
You've gone too far if you've gone to the cross. You got to go up above the light tubes going to the Buddha's head. Go before that.
Okay, see that. Yeah,
that's me standing there in the field. And you see what the light's doing there? It's come down right to the back of my neck and is wrapped around my shoulders.
Huh. And were you aware of anything at that time?
Not that time. There are other times when I have been, and I'll tell you about them. Then there's another night, these tubes in the living room, where, there's a Buddha's head, which somebody gave him or his family, and it sits there on a table. And one night, they were getting hundreds of these light tubes shooting down to the Buddha's head. Then crosses, many of them appeared in front of it. Then the light tubes went, if you go down a bit farther, to a series of photographs that are on the wall. That's Robert's photograph. It's headed right to his photograph.
I see, yeah, the light goes right into it, just one of those photographs, yes.
And just below that, that streak there is going down directly to my head. That's my, I'm sitting on the sofa, and that's my head where those lights stop.
I see. So, I mean, getting back to that other thing, I don't know what the problem people have with these photographs because they're very, you know, I don't think these
because they've never
seen
anything like this before.
Right.
They don't know what to think of it. They don't know Robert. He does not speak a lot of English. One of the reasons I'm doing all this is because he feels it's important that people know about these events, that they are real. He feels that that's what part of what his job is. And he can't do it in English. So
right.
I have done it in English for him. And it's simply I'm trying to help him be introduced because from what we've seen, the events that are going on around him, people are going to hear about him. And if they have some background, they'll be able to hear him better.
Right.
They'll be able to listen to what he says.
Right. You've been on the cutting edge of, crop circles, of course. You might, at some point, you might be used to the fact that people have a hard time. I mean, I know I have a hard time, but you know, there's a whole population that has a hard time believing something new, and will we ever be able to make a dent in people's consciousness with, you know, displays like this that there are unexplainable phenomena at this point? I mean, what's the best way that we can talk to people? I mean, going back to the crop circle days, how were you received when you did your scientific investigations with BLT and proved
most
that
people were very grateful to have some hard science. I mean, it's expensive. It cost a lot of money to get that done, and it was my money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sorry I did it. It had to be done because
it was very valuable.
If you're trying to reach an educated group of people, you have to present the information in an educated format. That's what they respond to. If you don't do it that way, they write you off as a crazy loon.
Right, so your science has proved that crop circles are a phenomenon that are not a bunch of guys stomping down the weed in the middle of the night. But tell people a little bit about what your research did prove in the crop circles.
Well, it was what has been done so far. I mean, we're not done yet, but what has been accomplished so far is, from examining the plants and the soils in crop circles, there are a number of energies in this, whatever's causing all this. One of those energies is microwave radiation or something that's acting just like it.
Mm-hmm.
Very brief, very intense bursts of this heating agency. There are also these very unusual electrical pulses and strong magnetic fields.
Okay, what's
and
the evidence for that? Just tell us a little evidence.
Give me a second here. I'm going to tell you. The deal with the microwave radiation first. We find in crop circle plants that the top node, is that knuckle-like thing. There are three or four of them on cereal crops, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Joints.
Joints would be good enough. Okay.
Yeah.
Though the top joint becomes elongated. Not bent necessarily, but elongated, stretched. Farther down the plant stem, the second or third or fourth nodes, sometimes all of them, the expulsion cavities, holes, are blown right out. Now, what's happening, this is our hypothesis, is that the microwave component of the energy system is heating up the moisture inside the plant stem. The moisture is collected at the nodes. And what we think is happening is that at the top node, when it turns to steam, those tissues are very elastic. They stretch easily. And Levengood's opinion was that the steam stretched those nodes as it seeped out. Once it's gone, the node is less stretched. Farther down the plant stem, the same thing happens. The moisture inside the node is heated, so it turns to steam. But those fibers will not stretch. They're very tough, they're not elastic, they don't stretch, and so if there is enough moisture inside the plant, and that then produces a great deal of steam, the only way for it to get out is just like if you stuck an egg in your microwave oven, it explodes.
Right.
And so both of those effects, we believe, are related to the presence of the microwaves.
I get
the unusual electrical pulses, this ties into John Burke's, you know, this book that he wrote about the energies that he finds at all these ancient sites.
Yeah.
What we found was that when crop circles occur in young crop, the seed is not formed yet, the seeds will be stunted, they never grow properly, and they don't produce seedlings which would live. They're too weakened. When crop circles occur in mature plants, where the seed is fully formed, when the crop circle goes down, this would be in late July and August, in those cases, the seeds are also stunted, and they weigh less, but they grow at up to 5 times the rate of normal, they produce greater yield, and they do it without any water or sunlight for long periods of time.
Mm-hmm. So now, that's proof enough for me that there's some kind of effect that's happening actually on the plants due to whatever's creating those complex designs in the
field.
Well,
we can prove that particular effect because we took a lot of time testing various electrical pulses, taking perfectly normal seeds and then exposing them to various electrical pulses. Levengood and Burke worked on this for a couple of years. What they eventually were able to do was they were able to replicate exactly the same result in normal crop by simply exposing it to the right degree and right amount of electrical pulse. It produces the same thing. The plants grow faster than normal, they produce greater yield, and they do it without water or sunlight for long periods of time. So we know that these electrical pulses are part of the crop circle energy system. The magnetic material in the soils is very clear proof of a strong magnetic field present also. And when we look at these little particles, we're talking, you can't see them with your eyes, you have to use a microscope. They're in the 10 to 50 micron diameter range. They are magnetized. They are spherical. Now, what Levengood and Burke in their paper, which was published in, I think, 95, what they proposed was that meteoritic dust, which is filtering down to Earth all the time as meteors enter the upper atmosphere, that this meteoritic dust got drawn into one of these rotating plasmas, and plasmas, when they rotate, give off microwaves, have these strong magnetic fields, and these very unusual electrical pulses, and the microwave component heats up the dust, turning it into a molten state. It then falls through the air and impacts the Earth's surface when the plasma strikes.
And
well, that's why they're spherical.
And you find them in how much percentage of crop circles are these?
Once we knew to start looking, we find it in almost all of them. And
oh, really?
Interestingly, what you find is that in many crop circles, if there is a circular component, not all crop circles are circular, you know, but if they are circular, we usually find these collected around the perimeter, right at the edge. Sometimes, however, we find them deposited at the centers rather than the edges, and sometimes we find that they're deposited linearly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people can see all of this on the website if they go to the plant abnormality section or if they go to the magnetic material in the soils. All of those things are written about and very clearly illustrated if people, you know, want to understand that better. But those facts have been present in hundreds of crop circles that we have tested, have sampled very thoroughly, and done exhaustive testing. And those differences are not caused by a plank or a board.
No, of course. Now let's talk about the 2009 season, which is this season, which is probably the most fascinating crop circles to date. They sort of have broken out of this just simple geometries. They're giving us things that look very complex, very, in some cases, asymmetrical, which is unusual. And
if we finish part four? Because there's
okay, sure. Let's finish part four of the Robert. Yes, please. I just don't want to run out of time.
Down past the fuzzy stuff. I mean, there are all these fuzz things that happen. I want you to look at
on the BLT website that we were looking at. Yes.
Vandenbroek case, the light phenomena report. And we're in part four, about one quarter of the way down, you'll see the words light rings.
Okay. Light rings. Yes, see it. Yes, I see a light ring.
Okay, what I want is for you to just scroll down and look at those. Those are all photographs where I was standing right there when they were taken. There was nothing visible. Most of these are with my camera, and a few of them are with a colleague of mine who came and was also present. And you look at these rings. Have you ever seen anything like this before?
No, I never have. I mean, what can we say about it except that it's unusual? I mean, yeah, it's interesting. But
well, if you look at ring D, one thing you see right away, because we've added the contrast, what you're getting in that case is a reflection on the internal optics of the camera. And yet no light.
So you're saying something external is reflecting internally.
Except that we were standing right there looking at it, and we saw nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how can something cause the internal optics of the camera to reflect when there is nothing to reflect?
Well, unless we're taking pictures of something infrared and then making it visible, or something the camera's seeing that the human eye's not seeing.
That's obviously the case. I mean, the camera did see this. It did record it, but we, standing right there, saw nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened over and over and over again. If you scroll all the way down to the bottom, you can
see
it. Incredible.
I mean, it's not much we can say about it in a way, it's just except that we don't know what this is, except it's very strange. I mean,
I think it's another indication. What I'm trying to get across to people is that there is a huge range of unseen stuff that is happening around this one guy, and therefore, because he's also the only person who knows about when crop circles are going to occur, studying him and understanding more, if it's possible, about what's going on with him may help us understand better what's going on with the crop circles.
Well, what can we understand about what's going on with the crop circles? I mean,
well, look at the very last photograph. I'm going to tell you an interesting story. The last one is on page 4 of the photo anomaly report. You see that ring?
The last one, the bottom ring. Yes, the little one, yes.
It's a black picture with a big white ring in it.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
Okay, I took that picture. That's me, not Robert. Okay, the story is this. We're out in a field at night, which we do all the time. Happened that in this particular field, there was maize growing, corn. I had seen a fabulous formation in corn in Pennsylvania. I had seen a photograph, but the people who found it would not tell me where it was, so I never got to see it in person. I've seen a few of these corn circles in person. I wanted to see that one, and I did not. So I got to Holland, and I wanted a crop circle in maize. Robert and I go out into the fields, and one night I said out loud to the sky, you know, if you're listening, I'd really like a crop circle in the cornfield here, because that way I'd know where it was and I could go in it, right?
Uh-huh.
We hung around for 10 or 15 minutes, didn't see anything happening in the field. I took this shot, and then we left. Now, that's a ring, a big fat ring, which is exactly what I was asking for in the field. It never occurred to me. It took me 2 years before I put that together.
I think that picture
is a ring that came. It just didn't happen to go in the field, which is what I was looking for.
Oh, so it actually gave you a crop circle in a way.
Well, it gave me a ring. I was asking for a ring. So there it is. I thought it would be in the corn, but no, it's on the camera.
Uh-huh.
That's what I think happened there. And then if you'll go to part 5, I just want to cover briefly Dr. William Rolls.
Because we only have a few minutes left. I want to really get to what's happening this year. Yeah, because lots of people can just go to the website, but I want to know what you've heard, particularly because...
I'll tell you.
Yes.
Okay. Many of these very pictorial ones are, we think, man-made. We have good reason to think that. However,
Yes.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. You must keep it in your mind that some of them absolutely could be man-made.
Okay.
It is, the hoaxers are, some of them are quite competent. But there's a crew over there right now, and I just got a call tonight. These expulsion cavities, which we talked about earlier, you don't find those just in a field that is untouched. You find them in crop circles.
Right.
And I am told that the yin-yang crop circle, people who are interested go to the Crop Circle Connector com, and click on the UK, and then start looking, because they're happening left and right. There was one that happened a couple of weeks ago, which they're calling the yin-yang symbol.
Yeah.
It had expulsion cavities all over it. There's another one called the dragonfly. It looks exactly like
the dragonfly. Oh, I love the
dragonfly.
Yeah. Those are
expulsion cavities all over the place.
Okay.
A very simple circle at Honey Street also has the expulsion cavities.
The dragonfly, I'm looking, was June 3rd, and that yin-yang that just happened was June 21st. There was
All right, now so there's also one that they're calling the N loves S. Saw it. You know that one?
Yes, it's that.
That's apparently got the expulsion cavities everywhere.
That also has a very interesting West African symbol of, do you know that? The crocodile with two heads and one stomach. That's if you look under one of the field reports, someone's
found
those.
So that would
be
in June, right? I mean, that one's...
That one is June 27th, The S Love U, and that's a... And a lot of the... In the Crop Circle Connector reports, a lot of them saying there's supposed to be a solar flare that's happening today. You don't think so? What do you think?
No, not. All you've got to do is go spaceweather.com, and you can find it out.
So there wasn't a solar flare today.
There is, but it's a very mild one, a Class B, which is not.
But they seem very. I mean, this year's circle seemed very exact in directing us to some kind of message. What is it that they're saying?
My expertise is not in that area, Alan. I wish it were, but I don't know enough to interpret these. I mean, our effort has been in establishing that there is a physical reality. That this is not a joke, that a lot of them are as real as anything, so that people can open up their minds to that idea. Because there are hoaxers, it makes it very difficult for the public, because unless they're there and can do some of this work that, you know, we do, examine the plants and everything, they don't know which ones to pay attention to. Very confusing.
Well, there should be something on the Crop Circle Connector that says these have blown nodes and these don't.
The Crop Circle Connector doesn't care about whether they're real or not. No, they don't care at all. And their interests, because they make their money by selling their DVDs, and whether they're real or not, you know, a lot of people in England don't care whether they're real or not. They just like them. So there's not as much interest in the science, partly because most people who are into this sort of thing think science is a bad word. They think that science will try to destroy the mystery. You know, this is not true, of course, but it goes a long way in explaining their indifference to the science.
Well, it's ridiculous. We need the science in order to validate the reality of these, this symbolic language, you know, this abstract.
And then we need people really good at interpreting. In this one, this N loves S, what do you see, that symbol at the top? The one, I don't know even how to explain
it. The symbol at the top is that African, West African, Ghanaianese symbol for...
What does it mean?
It means two Siamese crocodiles, which is a legend. They have a crocodile with two heads and one stomach, and it's about not fighting amongst yourselves for the same resource.
Oh. What a fabulous thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
that message is an important message.
It is an important message, and whoever discovered that, that's actually, I'll send that to you, a West African symbol is pretty amazing research, but the fact that it's putting together this whole big field, you know, and it seems to be a common theme among crop circles, is that let's make peace, let's go to the next level as a planet together, and let's just come together as one being.
Robert says that they've started to occur in Holland now, and he knew, of course, when it was going to happen and where. And he says the energy in it is very positive, very strong, and always geared toward the a positive something or other for humankind. In his opinion, he's sure that that's what they are. And some of them may have particular messages, but some of them, it may simply be that some of them appeal to some people, and others of them appeal to somebody else. And it doesn't really matter which one appeals to you as long as you get the basic point, you know?
Well, I think the basic point is talking to our subconscious to open up new levels of awareness and give us new symbols of thought. We think in symbols, and by looking at these images, we are actually opening it up to new ways of thinking. And the other thing about Robert, since he is connected to these higher dimensions and he's aware that they're coming, these seem to then, I wouldn't say obviously be made, but somehow they're made from higher dimensional beings that are...
That's what he says.
Yeah.
And when these people who have died, when those pictures happen, the first time...
Oh, he takes pictures of people who are dead, you're saying? Yeah.
Absolutely. Portraits.
Yeah.
I mean, not ghostly at all. And the first time I ever saw this happen, and the next report I'm putting up is all about this, after this man appeared out of absolutely nowhere, in front of our faces, many, many photographs of him, then a creature of some kind, then Robert called in the light bulbs, the ones you were talking about, the ones that he believes are an angelic kind of presence.
Yeah.
He said the man needed help, and he concentrated on bringing them in. And when you see this whole story, I've got half of it up on the website, not the part about the man, but the light bulbs then come, and the whole thing is over. Once the light bulbs are there, the color in the room goes back to normal, and then it's all over. And it's just, 15 minutes or so that it was happening. The guy, I have 26 pictures on my camera of this man that we don't know who he is, but he had come just one night unannounced. And Robert was sure he needed help and that the light bulbs needed to come for him.
Mm. Well, what this is all pointing to is we live in a much more complex universe than we can suspect, that there's many levels to reality, and that what I think, that the veils between the dimensions are getting thinner, and we're starting to accelerate to... It's something else. There's a new way, a new paradigm, a new level of consciousness that's filtering into our current reality. So
I would have to agree with you. I don't really understand it, but you can't escape the feeling. There have been so many I've seen two crop circles form with Robert, two different years. That's on the website, too, under the eyewitness reports. With what I've seen, plus all this stuff that goes on at his house, I know there are other realities. I don't mean doubt at all. The question is more, is it interdimensional? Is it extraterrestrial? Is it spiritual? What is it? Or is it all of the above?
Well, I think it is all of the above, because I think all of the above is actually who we are as well. You know, I think we're interdimensional. I think we live in a spiritual reality, and I think... the extraterrestrials are really our cousins, really part of us as well in a way. And we're coming to a time where people who cannot see the greater realities will be taken by surprise, will be shocked into, it's like suddenly saying that the Earth isn't the center of the universe.
I think that's the main reason why I try so hard to reach the so-called intellectuals. Because they are being left out of this, and if there's any way to clue them in that something real is happening, it's not a joke, it's real, and it appears, and it's physical. So if it's real and it's physical in our physical reality, we ought to pay attention. And I'm so worried that a lot of people who are very educated, very smart, simply will not be able to hear the normal or the typical crappy kind of talk, you know?
Right,
that's
so you're doing your
science.
Work. Yeah, I want to thank you for that, because I think your work has been very important in, laying a foundation.
That's what we're trying to do, yeah.
Well, you're doing it. And so I recommend your website, bltresearch.com, and we should say goodbye soon because we're running out of time. But what can we look forward to coming up on your website?
The next report will be of several hundred of, I think, I've got of these photos of people who have died with an examination of them to show you that they are not copies of known photographs. They are not, and we can prove it. It's amazing. I don't know who most of the people are, and I'm hoping that when we put it up, the readers may recognize some of these people. I know who some of them are, but lots of them we don't have any idea.
Well, that's another demonstration that the veils are thinning. So when will those photographs go up?
I'll finish that report, and if I don't have to go to Holland, Robert just called, and I may have to go. If I have to go, it won't be until the fall. If I don't have to go, it'll be up in about a month.
Well, thank you, Nancy.
Thank you so much for giving me the time and space, Alan.
Oh, we'll do more shows. As your work unfolds, we're going to do more programs about getting this out to the mainstream.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. I've been talking to Nancy Talbert. Her website's bltresearch.com. Fascinating information, really laying the groundwork for new realities to unfold on this planet. So I've been talking to her, and it'll be continuing in a series of crop circles and other phenomena as you listen to this program.
One last thing I would like to tell people. We have just started a USA crop circle list by year. It's on the website again. It's bltresearch.com. And right at the top of the homepage, you'll see USA crop circle list. And I have only gotten from 2004 up, but I'm working backwards. So as soon as I can, 2003 and whatever.
Right. And I'm sure you'll be researching the anomalies in those fields as well. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.
This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. Look at my website, newrealities.com. You can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. This is DBS Radio, and thank you for listening.